dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In the battle space of Capitol Hill these days, and previously in the battle space of the old-fashioned kinetic kinds of war, we have had few greater champions, in my judgment, than the man I'm privileged to speak with today. He is Congressman Chris Stewart. He is a representative of the people of the 2nd District of Utah. He serves on the House Appropriations Committee, among other things, on its Homeland Security Subcommittee. But he's also a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And when you combine that role and that he served previously in uniform as a distinguished combat pilot in the United States Air Force for some 14 years, together with his sort of Renaissance man qualities as an author of 17 books, including the New York Times bestsellers. He is a man that has much to offer to us. Congressman Stewart, thank you so much for joining us again.
Always to be good with you. I'm laughing, though, as you called me the Renaissance man. I assure you, anyone who knows me knows that's not true.
Well, it's my line and I'm sticking with it. Listen, I want to talk with you about what is developing at the moment. And I appreciate that, as always, what you can say publicly about matters that involve intelligence is limited and have to mind your P's and Q's with respect to the Intelligence Committee business. But you just penned a very important, very thoughtful, very illuminating op-ed article for the Washington Examiner, Congressman Stewart, about this whole business of Russian hacking for the purpose, apparently, of interfering with our election in 2016. Give us, if you would, quickly the essence of your article and what we should take from it.
Well, maybe two or three things. First is, how many times have we read since the weekend, Frank, that it's a foregone conclusion among the intelligence experts that Russia hacked and manipulated our last election because they wanted Mr. Trump to win. And I'm telling you, that's not a consensus at all among the intelligence community. Not at all. And in fact, quite the opposite. Those that we talked to, and I have to be careful what I say, but I've, talked with our attorneys and with the leadership, and I can tell you this, there's a great deal of disagreement about that. And that's the first thing. So if people read an article and it says anywhere in there, well, the CIA or the intelligence community has reached the consensus that the Russians wanted Mr. Trump to win, that's just not true. But beyond that, I think another consideration is we do know that they wanted to manipulate our election. We do know they wanted to undermine the faith and the trust in our institutions, including the electoral process. They've done it all over the world. I give some examples of that in this editorial. And it's interesting because we seem to be falling into our hands with a narrative that isn't true, it accomplishes exactly what they wanted to, and that's to make people distrust the outcome of the election.
Yeah. You talked about uncertainty being the object rather than actually electing one of the two candidates. And I guess part of why there's uncertainty about why they would favor Donald Trump is a lot of the things that he was talking about on the campaign trail are things that they clearly would not like. And they had also, as you point out in the article, Congressman Stewart, had pretty much run the table on Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton during their time in office. So it's, again, less obvious than some would have us believe that they were rooting for Mr. Trump. But as you've looked at the evidence, to the extent you can characterize it, is there any doubt in your mind that the Russians were interfering with our election? And it was, in fact, at a sort of state approved level, not simply Russians who happened to be engaged in this kind of hacking independent of the government.
Well, I don't know if I think that's the perfect description. I mean, I think it's not just the Russians, by the way. It's the Chinese, it's the North Koreans, it's the Iranians. I mean, any one of our adversaries are obviously going to hack, and they're going to seek information anywhere they can. They're going to release that information as they can to promote their own national interests. And certainly Russia did the same thing. When we say hacking or manipulating, a lot of people think, well, they actually broke into some of our electronic voting machines and they changed the tally of the vote. There's no evidence at all that that happened. And in fact, there's no evidence that that was something they sought to do. More than that, it's the manipulation of public opinion. It's this idea, for example, that they were attacking or targeting the Democrats and not the Republicans. Well, I'm telling you, that's absurd. For heaven's sakes, they're going to gather information from any source that they can. They're not going to protect the Republicans because they view them as a preferred party. That just simply isn't true. In this particular case, the Democrats just happened to have not been as secure with their information. And as a result of that, some very embarrassing things were released.
Congressman Stewart, to the extent that there have been reports in the press that there is a consensus or alternatively that the CIA has arrived at a firm conclusion about all of this, are you saying based on your evaluation of what's been presented, and I gather that the Intelligence Committee has declined to come up before your committee of late, and I wonder what your thoughts are on that, but is it your position, sir, that based on what you've heard, that there's still a lot of uncertainty within our intelligence circles about exactly who was involved and at what level, if any, in the Russian government was privy to this? I'm asking in part because I was listening to Bill Arkin, a particularly disreputable character for my money, a former staffer with the Institute for Policy Studies, a radical leftist operation that now has gone on. He's now gone on to report for NBC. And he says, no, it's not only that there's a high level of confidence about all this. It was it's now the CIA's judgment that Putin personally was running this operation. Could you comment on all of that?
Well, if that's his explanation, then he has seen very detailed, very classified information that I have not seen. And it'd be interesting to me if that's the case, because I kind of doubt it. I doubt he holds a security clearance, nor is he available for these types of briefings. I mean, look, intelligence is a very nuanced business, as you know. And for them to say we have a high degree of confidence, I mean, that actually means something. That doesn't mean, well, this is our best guess. It's actually a matrix that means something. And I'm telling you that if anyone comes out and says we have a high degree of confidence that they wanted Mr. Trump to win this election, I'm telling you, in my opinion, that's absurd. The second thing I'd say is I would ask you on just the face of the logic of it, why in the world would anyone presume that they would prefer Mr. Trump over Secretary of State Clinton? For heaven's sakes, they have been able to manipulate and to roll over this administration for the last 8 years. She promised much of the same policy. I don't find it believable to think Mr. Putin was afraid of Secretary Clinton. I just don't believe that. Mr. Trump is a very different deal. He's an unknown entity, but we do know that he said we're going to rebuild our military. We do know that he said we're going to put American first, our interest first, when we act on the international stage, not take more of a globalist approach. And I just think if you look at some of the things that he said as he campaigned and the things he said and the people that he selected since the campaign, those of us who feel like we need to protect American interest overseas feel some relief at the outcome of the election.
Yeah. And is it true that your view of Putin is that he is not a man we can do business with, and that talk to that effect from either camp is misplaced? Is that correct?
Well, I guess, again, Frank, it depends on what you mean by is a man we can do business with. I mean, look, he's a KGB thug. And he's excellent at tradecraft, and he is putting the nationalist interest of the state of or the nation of Russia above all else. He's not honest. He doesn't respect human rights or liberties, and he has a very different comes from a very different perspective than most Western culture. But Having said that, look, we've dealt with people like that throughout our entire history. It's not like in the complicated and messy world stage, we can only say, well, we're only going to negotiate with the good guys. I mean, look at the previous leaders of the former Soviet Union. A lot of those guys were KGB thugs, too, but we still had to interact with them. We had to negotiate them and you know, work out treaties with them that were to our benefit. And I think that might be true of Mr. Putin as well, as long as you came at him from a position of strength.
Yeah. Well, that's where I want to go to next. We're going to pause for just a second. We'll be right back with more with Congressman Chris Stewart of the 2nd District of Utah right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.